I want to thank Trudy for bringing us the Bible reading this evening. It's my joy to be with you tonight and my privilege. And I want to echo the words that have already been said of thanks to the various people that took part during the week. It was for me a very special week. Every week, every year, the Sports Fun Week comes, it's a week that I would look forward to. But I must say that I believe that the week that passed was a special week. It's a week which I believe will be recorded, not just in my memory for many years, but a week that will be recorded in eternity. There were many young people who spoke with us during that week. There's a number of them that indicated that they wanted to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were others who came and had other questions and other issues. And we did our best to try and counsel and advise and guide them in the subjects that they brought. And I want to just say a word of thanks also to our brother Alan. A word of encouragement to him. I think that looking back on the week now, Alan can be encouraged. I know that in the midst of it all, he was in fear and much trembling at times. And he certainly entered into the week relying heavily upon the Lord. And I think that the result of that faith and that leaning upon the Lord is part and parcel of how we can look back now at the week and enjoy and thank the Lord for what He's done. So I want to thank our brother Alan and others, the others who were behind him in support in regard to the work in the reach. I want to turn your attention again to the portion of Scripture that Trudy read to us earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, there's undoubtedly folks that are here tonight who are visitors. I am a visitor here in Bethany tonight, so I don't know everyone who's here. I don't know those who are regular attenders. I know a few visitors that I recognize. But you may be a visitor tonight, and you may just be wondering what happens at this point and how long is this guy going to talk for. I don't know how long I'm going to talk for. I know what I've been asked to do. And I will do my best to stick as close to that as I can. But my responsibility tonight is very simply to present the message of God's Word, the message of the Gospel. And as we come to it tonight, and as we come to that portion of Scripture that was read earlier, I want to turn your attention to the opening verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, and Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 3 reads, and it was with you, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I want to say to you tonight, as we come to the subject of the Gospel, to the message of the Gospel, as we come to that question of the soul, I want to say to you tonight that as I have come this week to Sports Fun Week, and as I come to you this evening, I hope that in some way I can echo these words, that I don't seek to come tonight with enticing words. I don't seek to come to you tonight with philosophy and with man's wisdom. And I don't seek to come to you tonight in order to entice you or to persuade you with my knowledge. For I have very little knowledge. And when it comes to preaching the Gospel, as I look around this congregation tonight, I can identify one or two individuals who are very capable preachers and teachers. And I'm very conscious of the fact that behind me in the pulpit tonight is a man with many years' experience, a man whose expertise lies in preaching and homiletics. And you may well ask, well then, why, Gary, are you standing here? Why are you the one with the responsibility to preach the message of the Gospel? The thing is that when it comes to preaching the Gospel, it's not about the preacher. It's not about the man who stands in the pulpit, but rather it's about the message of the gospel. And it's in the confidence of that message that I stand here tonight. I don't have the qualifications, perhaps, that others may well have here to preach. But I believe when it comes to preaching and sharing the message of the gospel, that the only true qualification is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I thank God that when I look at these young people tonight, it reminds me of a time in my life that I can look back to whenever I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. And thank God that He's been there. He's been with me each day ever since. Can I say to you also tonight that as you come here, there is no qualification in order to understand what's going to be said. For the message is simple. We see here that the speech of the gospel is plain and simple. Paul here is talking about how he speaks. I can say to you tonight that whilst we were focusing last week on the young people, and I'm conscious of the fact that the week before here in Bethany, there was also a big focus upon the children through the Holiday Bible Club. And while we focus on that age group to present the message of the gospel, that this gospel is for all. It's for you tonight. It's for those who are gathered in, for those who are unsaved, for those who perhaps are not regular attenders at church, for those who perhaps have come along tonight to support one of the young people as they see them taking part or receiving their prizes a little bit later on. You know, the gospel is something that can be received at a very early age. The week began with the good news that even before the Sports Fun Week had begun, we heard about a young child of just 3 years of age putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say tonight, I find that hard to believe. It's an incredible thought that someone so young could put their faith and trust in God. But that's the simplicity of the message. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Paul was a learned man. He was a man of great wisdom. He was a man who had studied for many years. But his qualification to preach the gospel was a qualification that was gained at a different kind of school. For there was a point in his life when he came to a knowledge of Christ as a Savior. There was a point in his life where he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And through that experience, he was able then to take the message of the gospel and to share it with others. As we think of the speech of the gospel tonight, I want to draw your attention to the subject of the gospel. We find that in verse 2. It reads in verse 2, and Paul again is speaking, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's an unusual form of words. "I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, the subject of the gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I could be negative in my explanation here for just a moment, let me tell you some things that the gospel is not. The gospel is not the church. The gospel is not a denomination. The gospel is not a system of belief. The gospel is not a code of conduct. It is not a political ideal. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We believe that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, is able to change lives. And there are many in this gathering tonight who can testify to that. You know, we live in an age when we try to make the gospel simple and others go further and they try to make the whole process of being a Christian so simple that you almost don't have to believe, that you almost don't have to be changed. But let me say to you tonight, to be a born-again Christian, it requires the Lord Jesus Christ to be the King of your life. It requires us to make that decision to put our faith and trust in Him. This week, the young people, as they've listened day by day, have been challenged about the great decisions that we're required to make in life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ requires us to surrender everything to Him. Just as the week was beginning, just before it began, in fact, we had a training night and we talked about people who came to Jesus and how we would counsel people if they wanted to speak about salvation. We thought a little bit about that man that we read off in the Gospels that came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he ran, he got down on his knees and he asked the Lord how he could get to heaven. What must I do to receive, to inherit eternal life? And all the indicators were right in that young man's life. He came with haste. He came to the right person. He asked the right questions, in fact, because he was seeking eternal life. But he never received it. And even though he was on his knees at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he left without salvation. Why am I saying this to you tonight? Because I want you to understand, my friend, that the gospel is something that requires us to surrender every department of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in an age of easy believism, where people, we try to make it so simple that people just say, oh yeah, I'll put my hand up. Yes, I'll pray a prayer. Listen, friend, God demands every department of your life. And that young man who came that day to Jesus, there was a department of his life that he wouldn't surrender. Something that he couldn't give up. I wonder tonight, as you come here and as you listen to the message of the gospel and as you ponder your own soul and your need of salvation, I wonder, can you think of a part of your life, a department in your life, a room in your house, some aspect of you that can't be surrendered to the Lord? We need to give Him everything. Young people, this is my last opportunity at the end of this sports week to address you. And what I say to you tonight is give to Jesus everything. Give Him all that you have and hold nothing back. As I look at my own personal experience, I have to say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. So what it might be in your life, what you're holding back from the Savior, what's stopping you from becoming a Christian is going to be different from what's stopping someone else here and perhaps from what was stopping me or stopping others who are participating here tonight. And you know what? We've all had to come and be honest in our lives about those things. I look back in my life and, you know, this may become a little controversial in a moment, but I'm going to tell you this anyway because I feel the Lord has put it upon my heart to share. My big problem as I look back in my own life experience was the problem of politics. I was locked in as a young person. I grew up during the Troubles. Thank God that there's a generation of young people who grew up now who know very little about what we're speaking of. And I started going to the church that I attend now, and that was actually part and parcel of because of a young man who served in the UDR who had been murdered. And I got locked in. And it was a department of my life, and I can say it with honesty tonight, it was part of my life that I would not surrender to God. And I felt that in those years that I could have argued with anyone, I could have even argued with God. That's the way I felt. Here was a part of my life that I could not give up. Something that I was obsessed with. I want to tell you, as I look back on the journey of life, over those years and over recent years, God has worked in my heart. And He's made a big change in terms of my attitudes. And I thank Him, and I want to publicly thank Him and praise Him for that, because it was something that I thought would never change in me. You know, again, I'm not trying to sound controversial to you tonight. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I can say to you tonight that my political views have changed oh so much. My attitudes have changed oh so much, and they needed to. As I look in life now, you know, in terms of political parties, I look to a different leader. I look to a different man, and you know what? It may seem, as I say it to you tonight, of all places in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, as I say to you tonight, I look to a different leader. As I look to a different man to represent my viewpoint, you might be surprised at what I tell you. For I would say to you tonight that when it comes to my political viewpoint, and I wonder, brothers and sisters tonight, I wonder how open you are to what I'm going to say. The man that I look to, in my memory, is probably the most unpopular character in the loyalist and unionist communities. And over the years, as I look back, well, he was accused of causing much trouble. In many ways, we would say that I can remember from my school days that as a Protestant growing up in Northern Ireland, his name was effectively a curse word in the school that I grew up in and in the community, in the Protestant community that I came from. You know what? Today, I know in the hearts of many, he's still a hate figure. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, if you're being honest, if I told you his name, if you were being honest, you might say you hate him. I don't know who you're thinking of tonight. He has a beard. I don't know if that narrows it down for you. The person who represents my views is the Lord Jesus Christ. The person that I look to is the Savior. When I look back in my life, he was the most unpopular figure in the loyalist and unionist community as I grew up. And his name when I was in school was a curse word. And I know that he had a beard, for the scriptures tell me that when they took him to torture and crucify him, they plucked the hairs from off his cheeks. Scriptures tell me that he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And you know, friends, tonight, I had to take that department of my life and I had to leave it at his feet. And I wonder tonight, across this church, if there's perhaps an element of your life, and it may well be a different element for you than it was for me, but is there a part of your life that you won't surrender? Young people, is there something in your life that you won't give up? Is there something in your life, perhaps it's a relationship, perhaps it's some secret sin, perhaps it's some form of music or some other pastime that you know as you stand before God is wrong? Is there something you won't give up? You know, Christ is the gospel. That's the message. And whatever it is in your life, you must bring it to Him and surrender it entirely to Him. He is the Savior of my soul. He is the Lord of my heart. He is the King of my life. He is the hero that I aspire to be like. He is the Redeemer of man. He is the great head of the church. And He is the gospel. I wonder, young people tonight, is there someone you aspire to be like? I say to you this evening, make Jesus Christ the King of your life. We've seen the speech of the gospel, the subject of the gospel. I want to draw your attention tonight to the secret of the gospel. For the secret of the gospel is something that others can't get their head around. There's many people out there today and they see a man standing in the street and he's preaching the gospel. And maybe someone's giving out gospel tracts and they walk by it and they just, these guys must be crazy. That's the attitude. Because they don't get it. They can't understand it. In the previous chapter in Corinthians, we read these words, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." See, if you're not a Christian and your mind perhaps is telling you that this is utter foolishness, this gospel. All this talk about the soul needing to be saved, all this talk about eternity, all this talk about judgment for sin, it may seem like foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. I want you to see, friends, tonight, verse 4 tells us in the passage that we read that the preaching must be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not one with human arguments. There's no point in coming to Christ for human motives. There's young people this week that came to Christ. I witnessed some of that. I heard about other things that had happened. Some of it was with much heaviness of heart, and that was evident in the young people that came. You see, you need the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. I want to say to you this evening that if you're conscious of the fact that you're not a Christian and that you're lost, you maybe perhaps don't wear the label. But if you're conscious, my friend, tonight in this church, that you're lost, that's not because I'm telling you. You can only be made aware of that if the Spirit of God reveals it to you. If you're here tonight and you're conscious of the fact that you're not right with God, God is the one who has revealed that to you. The secret of the gospel is the power of the Spirit of God. This is the thing that makes all the difference. He is the one, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who makes the difference. The verses that were read to us earlier on tell us about the secret of the gospel, and the true wisdom and the treasure of the gospel are revealed in the Holy Spirit. In verse 10 we read, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Finally, folks, tonight I want to say to you this. These verses tell us about the speech of the gospel, the subject of the gospel, the secret of the gospel. But I want you to see tonight in verse 5, the standing of the gospel. The standing of the gospel. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, we're kind of going full circle here back to this whole thing about the wisdom of men. It's not about intellectual argument. You want to argue with me tonight? Well, here's the thing. I don't feel the need to win. I don't need to win the argument. It's down to the Holy Spirit of God to argue with your heart. If you're here this evening and you're a visitor, perhaps you're not a visitor, perhaps you attend here regularly, but you're unsaved, someone who's not a Christian, someone who's not born again, listen, friend. Our prayer is not that you'll join this church and wear our label. Our prayer is that you'll find a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the gospel. That you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Young people, as you come this week, the message is a message about deciding to follow Jesus. Your faith in Christ does not stand in the wisdom of this world. John 6 and 37, a well-known verse says this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." The power of the gospel is undeniable. It's the power of the gospel that sets the prisoner free. It's the power of the gospel that delivers the drunkard. It's the power of the gospel that transforms the outlaw. Hebrews 6 tells us, it speaks of the anchor of the soul, which is sure and steadfast. Listen, friend, on the authority of God's word, you're standing in Christ. You're standing in the gospel. The standing of the gospel is sure and sound because it's in Christ. Christ alone. I wonder, do you have that assurance tonight? I wonder, as the service comes to a close, can you say, "I'm sure that I'm right with God. I'm sure about where I stand. I'm sure that I'm ready." I want to say to you tonight, Jesus loves you. He's made the message simple. And He can make your salvation sure. Amen.